In John chapter number 12, and I want to bring your attention to just a couple verses. If you look at verse number 23, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Here in the passage, Jesus is getting ready to die. He's just about a week away from that. If you look at verse 13, the Bible says they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." That was Palm Sunday. We just had Palm Sunday this last Sunday, and I apologize that we didn't recognize it publicly. It just kind of went under our radar, I guess, with all the different things that we have going on. But Jesus just came into Jerusalem, and he's getting ready to die. Again, if you look at verse 23 there, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." If you look at verse number 32, he says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. He's explained to them about the fact that he's going to be crucified. He says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." And the idea there is that he's going to be lifted on a cross there. And as he's lifted off that cross, he was signifying what death he should die. And keep your finger there in John, but go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I know we saw this passage a couple of weeks ago, but I just want you to see it again. Keep your finger there in John chapter 12 and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And of course, 1 Corinthians is that famous Lord's Supper passage. And I just want to remind you what it is that we're doing tonight. We're not, and I preached the whole sermon, and I'm not going to preach it again, but we're not partaking of salvation tonight. This is not salvation. Lord's Supper is not part of our salvation. It's not something we do in order to be saved. You're not saved by the things you do. You are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11, 24, the Apostle Paul says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And here's what I want you to cue in on and try to remember tonight. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." We partake of the Lord's Supper once a year at Verity Baptist Church to be able to remember. It's the equivalent of baptism, except baptism is something you do once in a lifetime. This is something we do on a yearly basis. But the idea is to remember. As someone gets baptized, they are taken under that water and they are brought up out of that water, and it signifies the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are doing this. We are eating of the bread, and we're partaking taken of the cup to do it in remembrance, Jesus said, of me. Look at verse 25. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it." Notice again, "in remembrance of me." Verse 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup," notice what he says, "ye do show." The idea is that you're seeing. We're having a visual lesson tonight. "Ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We should remember the death of Christ. We should. Jesus specifically in the Bible teaches that we are to baptize new converts, and that we as believers are to partake of the Lord's Supper on a regular basis or yearly basis, whatever it might be. And the reason is to show the Lord's death and to remember. To remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's just this time of the year where we can on purpose kind of sit back and remember the death of Christ. But here's what I want you to understand. We should remember the death of Christ. We should not mourn the death of Christ. Do you understand what I just said? We should remember the death of Christ. We should not mourn the death of Christ. The death of Christ was not a negative thing. The Bible does not speak of the cross as a negative thing. You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Just let me show you a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In the Bible, the cross and the crucifixion are a positive thing. They're a good thing. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 23. He says, "But we preach Christ crucified." He said, this is not a sad thing. We're not remembering and mourning because our leader died. We're not remembering and mourning because our prophet, like many false religions, their prophet has died, or their leader has died, or their deity has died. Our deity, yes, died, but he resurrected. It's not a negative thing. He says, "We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks foolishness." Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says this, "For I determined not to know anything among you." Notice, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is because of the death of Jesus Christ that we are here. It is because of the death of Jesus Christ that we are saved. It is because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can come into the presence of God under the righteousness of Jesus Christ and receive salvation. You got to understand, this is a time we remember. We don't mourn. It's not sad. It's not this sad thing, you know, where we kind of spiritualize it and make it, you know, a mournful thing. It's a good thing that the Son of God came to die for our sins. And by the way, that's why, this is a question I get asked a lot, that's why you don't see a crucifix here. There is no cross with an image of Jesus. Number one, we ought not have idols. You know, you get past the Ten Commandments. If you just learn the Ten Commandments, you realize that we're not supposed to have any graven images. But we don't have a cross. There's no cross with an image of Jesus on it. Because I don't know about you, my friend, but I serve a risen Savior. Jesus is not on the cross. He went to the cross, but He resurrected. And today you got all these religions. They want to worship this dying Jesus on the cross. Hey, my Jesus resurrected from the grave. And the crucifixion is not a negative thing. It's not a sad thing. Even Jesus would say, as He was being arrested, He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. But we know that 3 days later, up from the grave, He arose. So we remember the death of Christ. Because it's a positive thing. Go back to John chapter 12. You say, well, why did Jesus have to die? In John chapter 12, if you look at verse number 23... we get a little insight into the beauty of the death of Christ. In John chapter 12 and verse 23, Jesus said this, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified, speaking about His death and His resurrection. And in verse 24, He gives a little bit of a parable. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you. He says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The illustration that Jesus was giving here is the idea of a fruit produced. He says a corn of wheat, but it could be an apple, it could be an orange, it could be anything you want. The idea is that trees produce fruit and plant life produces fruit. And within the fruit that is produced by any tree, whether it's a corn or whether it's an apple or an orange or whatever it might be, within that fruit lies a seed that has the potential to bring forth more fruit. But the problem is that the only way that that seed can produce fruit is if it falls to the ground and dies. The analogy is that if I were to take an apple off an apple tree and wash that apple and eat it and consume it, it might be a good apple, and spit out those seeds into the trash can. Hey, it was fruit and it was good and it served a purpose, but it's never going to produce fruit because the seed never fell to the ground. And the idea there that he's saying is as seed falls to the ground and it's buried under the ground, and it pictures the death and burial of an individual, of that seed in this case. He says, when you take a piece of seed and you put that in the ground and it dies and you bury it, it now has the potential to produce a tree that'll bring forth much fruit. And Jesus was saying, hey, I'm that corn of wheat, I'm that fruit, I'm that seed, and right now I abideth alone. But when I die and when I'm buried, one day will spring out of me, not just life, but will come out of me forth. The Bible says He will bring forth much fruit. And that's what you and I are. We are here today because Jesus Christ died and was buried and He fell to the ground and He died. That's the only reason He could produce fruit, is because He was buried. The only reason He could produce fruit is because He died. You're there in John. Go with me to Galatians. If you can find your way back to 1 Corinthians, you go past 1 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, you got the book of Galatians. And I want you to understand something about the death of Christ. We should be thankful for the death of Christ. We should be thankful for the fact that He was buried and the fact that He resurrected, the fact that He did not abide alone, but He produced much fruit, which is you and I. But the Bible says this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, and this is kind of the message or the thought that I want to give you tonight. In Galatians 5:24, the Bible says this, and they that are Christ, let me ask you a question, are you Christ tonight? Amen. Have you accepted the Lord? Do you belong to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
The Bible says, but they that are Christ, now don't miss this, have crucified the flesh. You say, I belong to Jesus Christ. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you crucified your flesh? I belong to Jesus Christ. Are you dead? Have you died? Are you the fruit that abideth alone? Because the Bible says that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And I'm here to tell you that the reason that most Christians never produce any fruit, and definitely never produce much fruit, and really don't ever really accomplish much for the cause of Jesus Christ, is because we are willing to accept a Savior who was willing to die, and we are willing to say, I belong to Jesus, I belong to Christ, I'll accept the salvation, but we're never actually willing to die. Can I ask you a question? When did you die? See, the sad thing is that most of us have not died. And you can say, oh, I'm crucified, I belong to Jesus. But here's the test. Here's the acid test. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections, that's the things you like, and the lust, that's the things you desire. Go back to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 20. Notice what Paul said. You say, well, why did Paul accomplish so much in his life? I'll tell you exactly why Paul accomplished so much in his life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, notice, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what the interesting thing about dead people is? They don't complain. You know what's interesting about dead people is that they don't have a will, they don't have a desire, they don't have any affections, they don't have any lust, there's nothing in them. You know, and what Jesus calls us to, and maybe this is a little bit of a precursor to the coming Follow Me series, what Jesus calls us to is a life of giving up our rights and giving up our flesh. And see, here you say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm a believer, and I do this, and I do that, and I belong to Jesus. But let me tell you something. When your will crosses his will, we will know if you are crucified by who wins. See, because when God says, hey, do this, and you say, well, I don't really want to do that. At that point, we know who's actually alive and who's actually crucified. Because Paul said, hey, I'm crucified with Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live. He's talking to a bunch of, you know, he's talking to a bunch of heathens. You know, he said, I'm not talking about, human sacrifice. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, yeah, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. I love this verse because it's not just that he gave himself for the world, although we understand he gave himself for the world, but who loved me and gave himself for me. See, if you are Christ, if you acknowledge that the Savior, God in the flesh, came to this earth, fell to the ground and died to bear you as fruit, God invites you to experience the same death and to crucify your flesh and to say, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about the desires that I have, the affections that I have. It's about him. And I can then partake in that death. In Philippians, it talks about the fact that we can have fellowship in his sufferings and in his resurrection. Go back to John chapter number 12. Actually, go back to John 15 just real quickly. John 15, look at verse 8. John chapter 15. We saw this verse on Sunday, so we won't spend too much time in there. John chapter 15 and verse 8 says this. John 15 and verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Say, well, how do I bear much fruit? Well, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If you go back to John chapter 12, look, I just want you to real quickly look at verse 25 just to get a little bit of the context. John chapter 12 and verse 25 says this, he that loveth his life, let me ask you a question, do you love your life? He that loveth his life shall lose it. See, the truth of the matter is, when we pursue the things that we love and when we pursue the things that we want, we'll just end up failing at life. And we'll end up just producing nothing and accomplishing nothing. He says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life, you got to hate your life to be able to crucify it. In this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Verse 26, if any man serve me, now here's the catch. If any man serve me, let him follow me. You said, even to the cross, even to the cross. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So tonight, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, and as we remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge me that we would take time to think and to decide that, you know what, I'm not going to any longer live my life all about me. But if Jesus was willing to die to bear much fruit, then maybe I can be willing to also die so that I can bear much fruit, so that I can bring forth fruit, so that I can see people saved, so that I can accomplish something with my life. But here's the truth, and you know, we don't like to talk about it, you don't like to acknowledge it, I don't like to acknowledge it, but here's the truth. At the end of the day, whatever it is, reading your Bible, praying, soul winning, tithing, showing up to church, whatever it is, at the end of the day, you have something you want, God has something He wants, and when you win, that shows everyone that you're not dead. Because dead people don't fight. Dead people don't argue. Dead people don't have a complaint. They don't have an agenda. Dead people just do whatever you do with their body. And that's exactly what God wants from you and from me, is to come to Him and say, I'm dead. What do you want? Take me where you want to go. Do with me what you'd have to do with me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Let's bow our heads.